Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 7 edition of the walkthrough. Sorry we're a little bit late, but again, you know, some things happen. You know, big times car crashes happen, and we're people. We got jobs. Yeah. We come back home. But still, we're going to get you in. We're going to talk about every single game in week 7 and then get you out of here right in time for kickoff for the Thursday night slate. Bengals hosting the Steelers. So, Eric Vanek, what's going on, my friend? Are you ready to talk some week 7 football?
Yeah, let's do it. Kind of excited for this game tonight. Kind of see Flacco and Rodgers, two of my favorite quarterbacks, go at it. I'm looking forward to hopefully a little shootout action. That'd be nice.
I would love a shootout. It would probably be the oldest combined ages of quarterbacks in NFL history. I'm sure we'll hear it a million times, whether it's the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever it is, but it has to be. It's like 82 years of life quarterbacking on the
quarterback
field
life.
It's insane.
Should be a good one, though. That's why I got the old Packers Rodgers on tonight for a little love. I won't be wearing a fucking Steelers one. Fuck that.
You know what? I will say this, though, about Aaron Rodgers. I got him at QB12. He's kind of like my streaming quarterback of the week. I know we don't usually talk Thursday night football because by the time everyone's diving in, it could be Friday, it could be Saturday. But I got him at 12 approximately. What do you think you'd have him? Top 12, top 15? What do you have him on this week?
I think 12 is about right, yeah. Like, it's not like he's going out there and throwing 300 every week. He's like barely getting to 200, so.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a touchdown-dependent guy, but a team that gives up a lot of defensive touchdowns. So, like we said, week 7, we go each and every game. We're going to talk about them all. We're going to talk about our favorite starts, our favorite sits, some guys to be careful for, sleepers, streamers, all that good stuff. So, I feel like we've done this 3-4 weeks in a row. How many weeks in a row, Eric, have we started the slate in London, baby?
I think this is the last one, so, yeah, 3 weeks in a row.
That's right. We've been talking a lot of London games. Again, one more. This time, it's at Wembley Stadium in London, England. The Los Angeles Rams, they're 4-2, and they head across the pond to take on the probably one true home team in England, the Jaguars, who are also 4-2. So the Jaguars get their, you know, annual game in London. Rams -3, 44.5 over under. Rams -166 on the money line, +140 according to DraftKings Sportsbook. For the Jacksonville Jaguars, let's start with the visiting Rams, Eric. So, Puka Nacua, I think we have to talk about him off the top. Is he going to play? What do you think? What are you reading?
I think he sits out. They got a bye week next week, so I think he sits and he gets 2 weeks. So, yeah, I don't see him playing.
I agree with you, and I also he's a tough cookie, man. I mean, this guy, at least 3 or 4 times a season, something happens to him. You're like, oh, Puka is going to be out for a while. And this dude's like Terminator. He just kind of snaps back into place, and he gets back on the field and does a damn thing. But I agree. I think it's super important for them to be ultra-cautious. This game against the Jaguars isn't worth what they have going later in the season. And when you got Devontae Adams ready to rock and roll as your wide receiver one, Kyren Williams, you got plenty of weapons for Matthew Stafford to work with. So if Puka Nacua misses, how do you see this offense looking in Week 7?
It's going to be a lot of Adams. Jordan Whittington is definitely going to get involved, so I like Jordan Whittington. He's kind of like the Puka replacement guy on the last season or so. So definitely Jordan Whittington if you need like a, you know, just a starter for the week. Jordan Whittington's a great start, I believe. Tutu Atwell should be back for this one, but he's kind of just like big player bust. So I'm not really looking the Tutu out well. I think Kyren could have a decent game. The tight ends, they play so many of them, I just don't care. So it's Kyren, Devontae Adams, Whittington for me. I'm kind of nervous about Stafford a little bit, though, without Puka. You think, oh, man, he's going to tear up Jacksonville. He's been playing good. Like, this kind of seems like a letdown game without Puka for me. So I'm kind of a little cautious on Stafford, if I can be.
I think that's a very, very good point you make there, my friend. It's one that I'm also backing you on. So despite the fact that Stafford has a pretty good matchup against the Jaguars, despite his implied total being around 24 points for the Rams, I still have him outside my top 12 for the reasons you expressed. With Puka, without Puka, I can see this whole game kind of being a sludge. Yeah. We haven't seen the Jaguars push the pace in terms of offensive output. We haven't seen them be kind of the team that makes scoring more important in their matchups. So, I mean, we could easily walk out of this with a 17-10 finish where running backs do well. We're kind of disappointed across the board. So I agree. I'm a little bit cautious about Stafford as well. I do love firing up the Rams defense in this game across the pond. I think that could be a good move if you're playing in those dinosaur leagues like I am. But Kyren, you know, you're going to play him until he's, you know, we know otherwise. He's just been such a fantasy monster since his second year.
Yeah,
in the league.
Plus Corum hurt his ankle. I don't even know if he's going to play. So it should be.
He
like
did return in a limited
Kyren.
Fashion. Yeah, okay. It's still going to be 90% Kyren. Between the fumble that Corum had 2 weeks ago, the ankle last week, it's going to be a massive Kyren game, a fire-him-up Kyren game. When doing my rankings, I forced him inside my top 10. The matchup's not great, so we've, you know, consensus kind of has him outside or around 12. I pushed him inside my top 10 because I just think he's going to get so much volume. He's always going to have two touchdown upside in this offense. He's a good pass catcher. So Kyren smash, Davante Adams smash.
Yeah, I mean, they don't got anybody else, so I like him a lot. And like I said, Whittington, too, I like.
Whittington is a good kind of like what-the-heck flex type play. And on the Jaguar side of things, Trevor Lawrence, 2 weeks in a row, you know, performing decent enough to be in a starting lineup for fantasy. Do you think he can repeat in London? And how do you see this offense kind of looking against the Rams?
Like you talked about earlier, like this game could be a little sluggish. I could see Trevor Lawrence maybe getting two touchdowns, something like that, like one through the air, one rushing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not like looking for a huge game from Lawrence. He's probably like around the quarterback 12, 13 for me. And then Travis Etienne, he's been pretty solid, but the Rams have a really good rush defense so far this year. So I think Etienne's like a, you know, borderline RB1, probably top RB2. Brian Thomas and Hunter, I like Brian Thomas a little bit. Hunter, it's just so hard to play him and trust him. I might have to throw him into a few matchups because of injuries. Like, the amount of teams that I have a combination or all three of Emeka Buka, Garrett Wilson, you know, Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin's, like, it's crazy the combinations I have of those guys.
Yeah, it feels like injuries have come throughout each tier of wide receiver. Where it's Ridley, your number one could be hurt, your number two could be hurt, your number three could be hurt, and you could have been going into the year. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to absolutely demolish my league? I have the league neighbors, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua. Like, I'm here to kill.
Yeah, you already done.
Might be a bit tough. I do want to play a quick name game with you when it comes to Travis Etienne. So Travis Etienne or this week's waiver wire darling, Kamani Vidal.
I think I'm going to stick with Etienne. I think a lot of it had to do with the Miami defense last week.
Etienne or Woody Marks?
Etienne.
Me too. So I have Etienne over both those guys. Etienne inside my top 24. The volume's been there. The efficiency hasn't these last 2 weeks, but he's gone against tough run defenses. And I know this one's tough too, but again, we talked about a slugging, kind of a heavyweight type of big-time battle in the trenches, and that can be a good matchup for running backs. And if I have Travis Hunter, and I do, we've talked about this on basically a weekly basis. We both have a lot of shares of Travis. I'm going to bench him and just hope that he goes off on my bench so that I can feel confident. Because I like what I saw last week. Snap share in the offensive side of the ball, good. Targets, good. Production, still stank. So we're hoping some of these things kind of convert. If he's going to get seven targets in a game based on how he's been utilized kind of closer to the line of scrimmage, we're going to need him to catch six or at least five of them. We can't have him getting seven targets, catching two or three, four of them. We need him to be a higher catch guy. We need to rack up the PBR points. I hope to see it. But I don't know.
If you need a tight end too, Hunter Long got like 80% of the snaps last week and did pretty good. So Hunter Long's a good pickup if he's available for you and you need a tight end.
Yeah, Hunter Long is seemingly has emerged as the option to replace Brenton Strange while he's on IR. Good point. Before we move on to the next game and come back stateside, we have some questions in the chat. And again, we're here to talk about the Week 7 slate. We're also here to help you guys with your lineup decisions, roster decisions. Drop in the chat. If you want to cut the line, leave a super chat, get to the top of the line. And if you want your question answered, the least you can do for us, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the South Harmon Fantasy Channel. And then go ahead, leave comments, help us out with all the algo stuff. Mac Jones, A-Rod tonight on Thursday Night Football, or Bryce Young?
Ooh, I'm kind of leaning Mac Jones. Big Sunday night game. Should have George Kittle back this week. The connection him and Kendrick Bourne have has been great. Christian McCaffrey's been great through the air, too. So I think I'm leaning Mac Jones on that one. I think more upside.
Last question. Need to sit one before Thursday Night Football. Jaylen Warren, Scadabo, Rico, Rashad White. Ooh, good options here.
I think I'm going to sit Jaylen Warren in that one. He's the, well, Rico should split a little bit with Hubbard, but Jaylen Warren is definitely in a split with Gainwell, and Gainwell's been getting more and more playing time. So I'm going to go Scadabo, Rico, Rashad White. I'm going to start those three.
I'm agreeing with you 1,000%, but Jorge, listen, my friend, you need to make a trade because right now this is going to kill you, because I can also see Jaylen Warren putting up 20 points tonight. The volume's been there for him, but and when I'm just looking at my rankings, I'm not sitting Scadabo, I'm not sitting Rashad White, and I just, we'll talk about more when we get to that game, but I still think Rico Dowdle, there's just no way you put that cat back in the bag.
Right.
You know, he has more yards from scrimmage in two games than Saquon Barkley has all season. I just think there'll be a mutiny. But again, we'll talk more about Rashad. But for this question, George, we're going to make sure that we're sitting Jaylen Warren. Put him on the bench. Now you get to relax tonight. You don't have to worry so much about the output. You can just watch the game, not worry about Jaylen Warren. Gainwell or T tonight? So we got a lot of Thursday Night Football questions. So if you're listening on a Friday or Saturday, just take this information, the breakdowns of the players, and kind of apply it to you. And just know that we got all these questions right.
Yeah, I'm going to go T here. I think Ramsey could go on Chase a little bit tonight. You know, I'm not saying Ramsey's elite or anything. You know, he's come down a step or two. But I think T has a good night. He finally was getting the ball last week and had, you know, double-digit points for you. So I'm going with T.
I'm going with T, too. He had 11 last week in the first week with Joe Flacco, who got in town on Monday, played Sunday, and still got T. Higgins the ball enough to get double-digit fantasy points. I could see him scoring with that same output. I could see the volume going up even a notch for him as well. So, yeah, T. Higgins, it's pretty handily for me. Gainwell, if you just happen to need 8 to 9 to 10 fantasy points, I feel like that's fair, but T has such a higher ceiling, so I'm going to go T. Higgins.
Yeah, Gainwell had 6 catches for 19 yards last week, so he got you a touchdown in catches.
You got, and it all probably came in, you know, it's two or three situations throughout the span of the whole game. So
let's
go with the T. Higgins in the PPR format. Mason, Jordan Mason or Chase Brown? So a lot of Chase Brown questions, I'm sure, out there. So let's answer it. Are we playing a guy like Jordan Mason or are we playing Chase Brown?
I think I'm going to go with Jordan Mason. Chase Brown has, like, barely gotten over 40 rushing yards in, like, every game this season. So I'm not going to trust that. I'm going to go to a Jordan Mason against the Eagles this week.
I'm playing Chase Brown over the likes of, like, an Isaiah Pacheco, Zach Charbonnet, the Cardinals situation. That's where I'm playing Chase Brown. But when it comes to a guy like Jordan Mason, I'm playing Mason. Got him as a top 15 play. I know the Eagles seem like a really tough matchup, because their defense is so good, but they're actually the 8th most advantageous for running backs specifically. So I think Jordan Mason can get his as the, you know, pretty much the bell cow of that backfield. So Jordan Mason pretty easily over Chase Brown. All right, let's get back to these games, my friend, and let's get back stateside. Talk about the 1-5 Saints heading to Chicago to take on the 3-2 Bears. Bears minus 4.5, over under 46.5 is a number that's, I think, pretty encouraging. Plus 185 for the Saints, minus 225 for the Bears on the betting line. Let's start with the visiting Saints. Spencer Rattler, he's been a gamer, I think, more so than people realize. And so what does that mean for him, and what does that mean for the Saints offense in Week 7, who should have a decent matchup to score fantasy points?
Yeah, he's a quarterback too this week. I don't think he's the, like, dead last quarterback in the league or anything, but you know, I think he's a solid play. Like, there's just not many Saints I want to play this week, to be honest with you, even though it's a better matchup. Like, I'm playing Olave for sure because of the targets. Shaheed's been pretty good. I don't really trust Kamara right now. Like, he's probably, like, a flex play for me at best. And then the tight end situation, they're playing 4 different tight ends now. And, you know, Juwan Johnson doesn't have that tight end room to himself anymore. So I've pretty much benched Juwan Johnson anywhere I had him.
Juwan Johnson is a complete abandoned ship for me. Barely have him inside my top 20. I'm okay playing a Cade Otton, a Darren Waller, Zach Ertz, all these guys over him.
Barner.
I agree with... Yep, exactly. Chris Olave, again, I'm taking those targets all day, every day on a PPR league, so I'm playing him with confidence because the Bears do present a very easy matchup for opposing wide receivers. You bring up Kamara, I think it's a great talking point because the matchup looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, 5th easiest matchup, but it wasn't good for Bill last week. He hasn't been great, so I want to play a little name game with Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara or Rico Dowdle this week?
Rico.
Alvin Kamara or Jacory Kroski-Merritt?
I'll go with Bill. Bill's got a really good matchup.
Bill, Bill. Yeah, I'm going back to the Bill. Well, he disappointed. I had him as a top 15 play last week. He definitely disappointed, but there were flashes. You saw the explosiveness come out in spurts. It was a bit of a rainy, wet day on Monday night, so maybe a shitty circumstance, but this week, fourth best matchup against Cowboys, great over-under. We're going to talk about that later in the show. Last one, Thursday night football implication, Jaylen Warren or Kendre Miller?
I'll go Jaylen Warren over Kendre, yeah.
I will too. So if you have to make that decision and you're listening live, this is why you tune in live.
Did you mean Kamara, Jaylen Warren over Kamara?
What'd I say?
Kendre.
Kendre and Kamara, yeah, the case. Yeah. Got confused, yeah.
I'll still go Jaylen Ward there over both. Yeah.
All right. Yes, good distinction. Way to pick that up because someone would be like confused. Like, what?
Yeah, you're good, Kamara's you're playing, good, you're
right?
good.
Yep. All right, let's go to the Bears side of things. Low key, Caleb Williams has been kind of cooking. Yeah. QB12 overall, better on a points-per-game basis than that. Only one real game under 20 points and most scoring leads, those six-point passing games. He's been good. He's allowed the offense to be pretty damn good. I don't know if that's him or Ben Johnson. Probably a combination of both. So talk to me about Caleb this week. Talk to me about the whole, you know, array of weapons.
Yeah, I like Caleb a lot this week. I think he should probably be a top 8-ish play for me. So I think that's probably pretty good for him. Swift had a really good game last week. Even though he's been limited a couple of days in practice here, I'm still going to roll with him. Like, he's our only running back who's worth a shit, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. You're playing Rome. DJ Moore was limited today. Possibly he plays, but he had a hospital stint, and then now he's going to practice. So just kind of watch out for that one, but I definitely like Rome. If DJ Moore's out, I kind of like Luther Burden as like a flex play. Like, throw him in there and see what happens, because I bet you he takes over the DJ Moore role and probably plays like 80 to 90% of the snaps if DJ Moore misses.
Yeah, I agree with you. I kind of put my flag in the ground for DJ Moore last week. Had him in the top 20. Didn't come through. I think at this point right now, it's Rome Odunze for every single week. It's Caleb Williams. It's DeAndre Swift. Swift, you know, don't look now, but he's running back 14 on a points per game basis, really coming off, you know, obviously a heater like you mentioned on Monday night, dicing up the Commanders. Yeah. So I got Swift every week, Caleb every week, Rome every week, and DJ Moore, to me, I feel as if he is going to be hindered by this injury, if he's going to be slow, if you know anything about DJ Moore, he's a good team guy. He'll go out there, be a little bit more of a decoy, not bitch about it, let the explosive players kind of do the thing and just kind of pick up a first down when needed, get the ball out of the backfield, kind of just play the helper role. We don't get points per good teammate, you know, in our leagues. Right. We need to surface that. So it feels like every single week we're going to start elevating Luther Burden more and more and fading DJ Moore, which, you know, as a DJ Moore believer, it kind of sucks. But for me, if you're in a situation and you got Luther Burden on your he's a free agent in your redraft league, the game I'm playing a guy like Luther Burden is when the implied Vegas total is about 27 points, which it is. It's 26.5 right now. It's been going up. So that's the game you want to play a Burden. We saw it last week. Three catches, turned it into 50-something yards, almost 10 fantasy points on just a handful of touches. The guy's explosive. So the ball will skew that way soon enough.
Yeah, so just for reference, I actually made this decision in one of my leagues. PPR league, I put in Burden over Bam Knight. So that's what I want. One matchup, I just like, you know, let's go for the home run play. We'll go with Burden over Bam Knight. Bam Knight, tough matchup. Might not have Kyler. Probably not going to have Marvin Harrison. So they're probably going to be able to stack the box a little bit. So
I actually love that call. I think that's a good inflection point in terms of a decision to make at flex. Let's move on to the next game. The 1-5 Miami Dolphins take on the 1-5 Cleveland Browns. It's weird. This game on paper looks like shit, but there's a lot of fantasy-relevant players in this matchup, so we got to talk about it. 2.5 points going towards the Dolphins as road underdogs, 37.5 over-under, plus 124 for the Dolphins, minus 148 for the home Browns. Let's start on Miami side of the ball. Tua, not really a big play in one QB formats, maybe a decent quarterback two in a super flex league, so we'll just leave it at that. Devon Achane is an absolute destroyer of worlds, start each and every week. Jaylen Waddle has become a must start every single week. But what about Darren Waller? Will Darren Waller get some? Because last week was the first one where he wasn't a monster. He did get saved by a late touchdown, but is he a lock to play each and every week in fantasy?
Yeah, they played Julian Hill like the same amount of snaps as him, so he's not getting the full snap complement. I still don't mind him. Just one note, because of that low over-under, it's supposed to rain all day Sunday here in Cleveland, so it's going to be a rainy game. So definitely Achan. I think you play Tua as like a quarterback too, like you said. You got to play Waddle just because that's their only like passing game option. Like, I'm not trusting Malik Washington, who's been dog shit. I'm not trusting Westbrook Akine or any of those guys. So for me, it's just I play Waddle, I play Achan, and if I don't have a great tight end option, I'm fine playing Waller.
On the Browns side of things, we're not playing Dylan Gabriel in any which way. Running back Quinshon Judkins is a double smash. This guy, I have Quinshon is running back 4. Am I crazy?
No, I was going to say he'd probably be in my top 5, so that's perfect, because you just saw what Kamani Vidal did to this defense, and they're pretty dog shit. So Judkins, I'm expecting 100 yards. I'm put the money on the prop bet over 100 yards this week. You'd probably get like plus 260 on it.
I love it. And as we mentioned at the top of the bye weeks, you know, the Ravens and Bills, there's James Cook, Derrick Henry. If you're kind of up shit's creek without a paddle, I don't hate playing Jerome Ford this week. I don't hate playing him. I think you could bank on 7 fantasy points and a touchdown, or maybe a one-time situation in a 2-minute drill. He can get 3 catches on that drive. He could push 10 fantasy points, so I don't hate him. Love Quinshon this week. Pass catchers, the receiver side of things, I'm not touching anyone on the Browns. I don't want Bond. I don't want Judy. I don't want any of these guys.
Yeah, the only guy I want is Fannin. Njoku hasn't practiced this week. I don't think he's going to play, to be honest with you. So Fannin's been killing it. So Fannin's definitely a top 12 tight end play for me this week.
We're trying to predict the future here. David Njoku ruled out on Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, whatever. How high is Harold Fannin in your ranks?
Probably top 8.
That sounds about right. I have met tight end 11, but I ranked him thinking that Njoku's a go. If Njoku comes out of my rankings, he will be above Hunter Henry. I have Hunter at 7. So it'll be McBride, Ferguson, Warren, Laporta, Kraft, Kittle, and then Fannin. I think he has that type of upside.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the weather. If you've seen how they've used Fannin throughout this season, it is catered towards a game like this Sunday might be in the rain. Close to line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he can have another mechanisms, 7-for-80 game like he did last week. Yep.
Yeah, I think for right now, and I think this is just the you are just getting on the elevator that is Harold Fannin Jr. in fantasy. Some have slept in redraft, so if he's out available, you know, he's still available about 40% of leagues, pick him up. David Njoku missing is terrible because the team knows they're ready to move on from Njoku. If they see what life is without Njoku, he's just going to come back to an ancillary role like he was kind of early throughout the season. And then we're just going to see the Fannin train just get stronger and stronger, the rocket ship take off.
My dynasty ranks, just a quick little update. I got Fannin above Njoku now, and I have Fannin in the top 10 for dynasty tight end ranks. Crazy.
Oh, would you look at that. Now, if you would have come to South Harmon after the NFL draft and got our rookie guide, you would have known that we were very, very happy about Harold Fannin. I think those shares are paying off for all of us over here in the shithouse. Let's move on to the next game. A battle of AFC West foes. The 2-4 Raiders head to Kansas City to take on the 3-3 Chiefs. Despite the record being a lot closer, the point spread here is pretty ridiculous. Chiefs are minus 11.5. It's a lot of points there because we're projecting no Bowers, maybe no Jacoby Myers. We're projecting a lot on the Raiders side of things. But the over-under, 45.5. Vegas still thinks there will be points scored. If you want to get some juice here, plus 600 for the Raiders, minus 900 for the home Chiefs. Let's start with the Raiders. Geno Smith has been a lot better on the road, but he's not going to have Bowers. He may not have Jacoby Myers. What does this offense look like without their two best pass catchers, Eric?
Yeah, it sounds like Meyer should play, but he's also in trade rumors. So do they sit him, to keep him healthy? Or I don't know. We'll see what happens there. Jack Besh played a lot more last week. Trey Tucker still pretty solid. I mean, it's a division matchup. Like 11.5 is a lot. So I'm leaning towards the Raiders with the 11.5. Maybe the Chiefs win by 10. You know, and you get the cover. So that's kind of what I'm thinking here. Chiefs have been really hot, though. But Raiders side, Genty, you're playing. Michael Mayer is a standalone tight end there. You're playing him if you got him. He's a top 12 tight end this week. Receiver-wise, I guess Myers, if he plays, is like a wide receiver 3. I would put Trey Tucker in a flex spot. That's probably about all I want to play for the Raiders.
on the Chiefs side of things, you're playing Mahomes, QB1 right now. Just the rushing's been there. He's been gunslinging it. And guess what, folks? Remember all the belly aching we were doing in August? Well, a snap of the fingers happened, and all of a sudden, Rashee Rice is back. Rashee Rice will suit up. And if you believe the rumors coming out of Chiefs camp, there will be zero use restriction. They are going to let him play full force. They're going to let him go out there and, you know, play a huge amount of snaps, be a big part of the game plan. And Andy Reid is really good out of the bye. This is a bit of a thought that I've had. He's really good out of the bye, which means he's really just good at preparing. That's all that means.
Well, they didn't have a bye last week.
No, but my point is, because we know that Reid is good out of the bye, all that means is that he's good at planning. He's had 6 weeks to plan Rashee Rice's return. So my point is that Rashee Rice is going to be planned in well. He's going to be schemed up well. It's going to work out. So if you have Rashee, you're going to put him in your lineup without a doubt. But after Rashee, how do you see this offense looking, though, Evie? Because we're playing Patrick Mahomes. We love it. We're playing Rashee Rice. What does this mean for Worthy? What does this mean for Hollywood? What does this mean for Kelsey? And are we ever going to trust a running back on this team?
Guess what, Manny? We've never seen all three of these receivers play together in a regular season game yet.
It's crazy.
Been over a year and a half now, and we haven't seen all three of these guys play together. So I don't know what it's going to look like, to be honest with you. I think Rashee kills it. I think Worthy is still really good. Like, you know, they're going to be focused on Rice and Kelsey and these guys. Like, Worthy he's too fast to not get some one-on-one opportunities here. So I like him. I think Hollywood kind of takes a seat back. So I'm not really too interested in him unless it's like a, you know, flex play, or I got all those wide receiver injuries and I just got to throw him in there. Kelsey's been really good, like, especially with Rice back now and Worthy, like, the attention's off of Kelsey. So I like him. And I honestly like both running backs too. Like, this high over under, you know, they're expecting the Chiefs to put up like, what, 27, 30 points or something crazy like that. So, when that happens, that means, you know, Kareem Hunt at the goal line, Pacheco might get a goal line carry. So I like both running backs as like RB2s this week.
Yeah, you brought it up. I just want to make the point again. Vegas thinks they're going to score about 29 points, which is one of the highest on the slate, if not the stone top highest. Those are the games where you play the ancillary weapons. This is where you make sure if you're in a bind and you only have Hollywood, this is the game you play him. You don't play him in a slugfest. Yeah. You play him in this type of game. You make sure you put all these weapons in, because touchdowns can be random, and we've seen big plays happen when there's a bunch of points being scored, and we expect the Chiefs to be out in full force this weekend. So definitely going to fire up those role players as along with the studs. Next game is a challenging one when we look at the betting odds, and we'll get to it in a second. The 4-2 defending champion Eagles head to Minnesota to take on the 3-2 Vikings coming off a bye. Plus 1.5 for the home Vikings, over under 43.5. Pretty low. Here's where I want to talk to you about this, Evie. What does this mean for us fantasy gamers? Minus 125 for the Eagles, plus 105 for the Vikings. Real close. So Vegas doesn't think there's going to be a lot of points scored. They think it's going to be a close game. So what does that mean? And we'll start with the visiting Eagles side of things. We always want to play Hurts, Barkley. We used to always want to play Slim Reaper and A.J. Brown. But with these numbers being projected from Vegas, how do you think it's going to pan out? How do you see it panning out?
I don't love Jalen Hurts this week, especially Flores coming off of a bye. Had, you know, an extra week here to prepare for Jalen Hurts and how to stop this offense. I don't love Jalen Hurts this week, to be honest with you. I think they're going to pressure him quite a bit. And that offensive line is very banged up for the Eagles and hasn't been, you know, like the Eagles offensive lines in the past. So I don't love Jalen Hurts this week. There's probably some crazier options I'd rather play over him. Like, I might play Mac Jones over him, to be honest with you.
Well, while we're there, let's play a little name game. Caleb Williams or Jalen Hurts?
Caleb Williams.
Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts?
Dak, yep. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Baker Mayfield or Jalen Hurts?
That one's a little tougher because of all their injuries. And, you know, he doesn't have any of the three stud receivers he has. But he's been playing so damn good. I think I lean Baker, man, just because he's been playing so damn good.
Last one, Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields coming off the worst game in NFL history?
I can't play Fields, man. I've benched him everywhere. Even though, like, they're expecting him to maybe have a big run game this week, I can't play that guy and see like 45 passing yards in my, you know, when I go to look at my league page. No thanks. I'll go with Jalen.
Expecting Justin Fields to go. We'll talk about Justin Fields when we get to his game. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Hurts over Fields. That's kind of where the line's been drawn. As far as Barkley, you're going to play Barkley. Do you have the guts to sit A.J. Brown or Slim Reaper?
Not really. Not with all these wide receiver injuries and stuff. I think they're both top 36 plays, but they're probably more towards the back end wide receiver 2 to 3 range for me. And Goddard has like a touchdown in like 4 straight games, so it's hard to sit him right now the way he's been playing. I have one league. I think I've sat him all 4 weeks. It's just killing me. Like,
yeah, he's a top, you know, top, what is it, 5 tight end, I think, in fantasy. He's
just
awesome
with touchdowns.
And it was crazy.
Yeah.
Last week he got it all, volume, receptions, yards. Mm-hmm. This matchup, though, is pretty good. Minnesota, you know, a good defense. Brian Flores always gets the squad ready to rock. But a top 10 matchup for tight end. So I'm playing Dallas Goedert all day. And on the Viking side of things, I don't really think there needs to be much of a discussion. We're not playing Wentz. We already talked about Mason. We like Mason. Obviously, you're playing Justin Jefferson. But talk to me real quick. Yay or nay on Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson as plays this week?
Yeah, I'm Mike Addison this week, probably in that same range as Devontae and A.J. Brown. Hawkinson, I'm probably playing some of the other tight ends above him. I'd play Cade Otton above him. I'd play A.J. Barner above him. So that's a couple options there.
And now let's move on to the next game. The 3-3 Carolina Panthers heading to New York to take on the 0-6 Jets, last team who is winless in the NFL at this point. Despite the bad record from the Jets, the winless record from the Jets, the Panthers are only giving up 1.5 on the road. Over under 41.5 is a bit of a stink fest. Minus 125 for the Panthers, plus 105 for the Jets. Let's talk about the Panthers. Bryce Young remains a fringe QB2 streamer. You might be losing Josh Allen. He could be a streamer. We're going to keep him there. Tet McMillan, we're firing it up. Tet McMillan, the volume's been there. 2 touchdowns last week. We like Tet McMillan each and every week. But talk to me about the running backs. Chuba Hubbard's back. Dowdle's been incredible. How do you see it playing? You playing both? You making a choice? You avoiding the whole situation? Talk to me about the running backs in Carolina.
Dowdle, I would definitely play over Chuba. But I don't mind Chuba as like a flex play this week if you have nobody else. But I think Dowdle's been way too hot to just outright, you know, go back to his role the first couple weeks of the season. Like, I think it's going to be Dowdle who does it and ease kind of Chuba back in, first game back from an injury. Maybe it's like 66-33 is the split. So that's kind of what I'm going for with the Panthers running backs.
And on the New York Jets side of things, no Garrett Wilson.
Jatavion Sanders is back this week, too, for the Panthers.
I'm glad you brought him up. Has he gotten into your streaming tight end pantheon quite yet, or are you still looking at the Cade Ottens, Darren Wallers, those type of guys before, or is he going to be in that flex streaming tight end consideration?
Yeah, I'm playing all those guys above him. Coming back from injury, multi-week injury, I want to at least see it first. Like, I don't think he plays like 80% of the snaps. You know, right. Tremble's going to get in there. Mitchell Evans is going to get in there. So I'll wait a week or two before I play him.
And on the Jets side of things, so I mentioned no Garrett Wilson. You're playing Breece. Is there anybody else that you want to play on this offense?
I kind of like Mason Taylor a little bit just because they don't have anybody else. It was a rough game last week for him. I think he only had 1 catch. But the previous 2 weeks, like, he was doing really good. And I don't know who else they're throwing the ball to other than, you know, maybe some Breece Hall, some Isaiah Davis. So Mason Taylor, I would put him in the Cade Otton, A.J. Barner, Darren Waller spots, like, right around there.
In redraft, he may have been dropped after being last week's waiver wire darling. Pick him up, even if you don't need a tight end. He needs to be on your team if you have a roster spot. We're only a week removed from 12 targets, EV. I mean,
right.
Without Garrett Wilson, could you see 15 targets? I mean, if 12 was on the table when Garrett Wilson played,
right.
What are we talking here? This guy might be in line for a ton of targets, even if you don't need him, even if you're going to go with the Darren Waller, the A.J. Barner, the Cade Otton this week, Harold Fannin. He's still a guy you should have on your bench. He's better than a roster-clogging wide receiver that ain't going to ever make your lineup in redraft. So cut all that crap. If Mason Taylor was dropped, pick him up, even if you don't need to play him, because I think there's a bit of a value spike, and maybe you want to play matchups later on, because this guy, like I said, they don't give bums 12 targets a game in their rookie season. This is a guy that they see in their future plans, and I think he could pan out.
Right.
Before we move on to the next game, we got a couple questions in the chat. All right. Let me read through this. There's a lot here. We're going to break this down for our guy here. Who is going to go in for his wide receiver 1-2-3 tight end and flex spot? You know what? We're going to skip that. That's too much. Who would we drop off the bench? Let's go. This is a lot easier. Kenny Gainwell, Bam Knight, Travion Henderson, Kayshon Booty, Zach Charbonnet. Who are we dropping off this bench?
I would probably drop Bam Knight out of that group.
Try to trade Bam Knight to a running back needy team, a team that needs to win now, if you can. But if not, and you have to drop, he's the easiest drop. We're not going to get crazy with dropping Travion. Kayshon Booty, he could be useful when you need it. Zach Charbonnet, Kenny Gainwell have proven to be fantasy relevant players in the recent history. So we're not going to get rid of that. Bam Knight, you can cut, but try to trade if you can. Yep. Pick 2, T. Higgins, Roma Dunze, BTJ, Rashi Rice, Jalen Waddle, George Kittle. Holy cannoli, this is a pretty damn good set of players, but who are your two favorites?
Yeah, so pick 3 with a 2 PPR for tight end here. So I think I'm going to go with Rice for sure. I think I go Rice, Adunze with DJ Moore being banged up. I like those two for sure. And that third one, I'm going to cut Waddle out just because of the rain. You know, I think you have mm-hmm. some other options that you can play with there. I think I go Adunze, Rice, and Kittle coming back with the 2 PPR for tight ends.
I'm going to agree with you. I think this is a great set of players. You definitely a nice
sitting
windfall.
Brian Thomas, that's crazy. But
it's crazy. It is. But with the 2-point PPR for tight end, Kittle's got to be on the field. In that first, what is it, drive, 2 drives that he played, he scored like 14 fantasy points before he got hurt. He could be a monster in this offense. And let's just avoid Thursday night. Let's avoid bad weather. Let's avoid the Jaguars in London. Let's go with Rice, Adunze, Kittle. But make some trades. Like, making this decision sounds like an absolute nightmare on a weekly basis, I'll be honest.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the next game. 2-4 New York Giants, but they're trending up. They head to Mile High Stadium to take on the 4-2 Denver Broncos. Broncos -7 at home, 39.5 over under. I'm smashing the over. +285 for the Giants, -360 for the Broncos. Let's start with the New York Jets. Jaxson Dart has been very good. Seems like he is going to be a fantasy darling. The way he's running the ball, passing the ball, getting his weapons the ball, letting them make plays, making plays himself. So we like Jaxson Dart. Where do you think you got him in your ranks this week?
He's probably in the back end of quarterback 1, probably more top end quarterback 2 for me this week.
And that's saying a lot considering this is one of the worst matchups for quarterbacks. Vegas only thinks they're going to score 16.5 points. This is a dreadful situation for Jaxson Dart. I'm lower on him than you, but I'm still at QB 17. So what we're both kind of say is we're going to be a little bit cautious this week, but we love this kid for fantasy, and we're not going to completely fade him because of how he's been able to have it translate for fantasy points. Cam Scatabo, another tough matchup, but the volume's too much to ignore, right?
Yeah, can't sit him.
Going to play Cam. Talk to me about the pass catchers. No Malik. He ain't coming through those doors. Are we going back to the Wandale Ray? Are we just going to avoid, you know, the guys that are going to be going against Pat Surtain and his squad?
Yeah, I like Wandale in this one. If they're going to move the ball, it's going to be through him. And, guys, it's a little Jordan Humphrey revenge game. Like, you got to play him, right?
Little Jordan. I mean, he is definitely a top-year sleeper free agency rankings in your dynasty leagues, folks. I've seen him all week long staring at me.
The amount of times I picked him up in best ball on Wednesday is sickening. So, yeah.
Lil Jordan Humphrey revenge game. Dial it up. Pack it up. Let's do it. And let's talk about the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix and company. Bo Nix has been up. He's been down. He's been mid. Are you playing with him confidence in a middle-of-the-road matchup against the Giants?
Yeah, he's been, like you said, so mid this year. Like, I think I got to play him. I think it's a nicer matchup for him. I like playing him at home. Like having the home crowd and all that stuff. But yeah, he's been very disappointing this year. I wish he would run the ball a little bit more too. Like get me back to like that 30, 40 rushing yards he was getting last year. So I think he's like a back end quarterback 1 again. I like Dobbins. You know, he should have a good matchup. I've benched Harvey. I just can't, he's not getting the touches, man. Like,
what are you supposed
there's
to do,
a lot. Like, I'd rather play Gainwell tonight over RJ Harvey if I had to. So, and then you're playing Sutton. I could see Troy Franklin doing pretty good this week. I don't mind him. And then Evan Ingram, revenge game. Let's get it. Evan Ingram.
Yeah, remember, before the Jacksonville Jaguars, it was the New York Football Giants, a double dip revenge game. Lil Jordan Humphrey versus Evan Ingram. This next game, the first one, it's actually the second one on the 4 o'clock slate, Eastern Standard Time. Feels like a smoke 'em if you got 'em game, but let's talk about it. 5-1 Indianapolis Colts head to La La Land to take on the 4-2 Chargers.
Yeah, real good game.
Chargers -1.5, 48.5 over under. Chef's kiss. We absolutely adore that. +110 for the Colts, -130 for the home Chargers. Sounds like a back and forth game to me. Is this a Colts Chargers? Play 'em if you got 'em.
Yeah, I can't think of many guys I want to sit outside of the, you know, ancillary pieces, pretty much. Right. Like, I want to play, I'm playing Daniel Jones, I'm playing Taylor, I'm playing Pittman, I'm playing Tyler Warren. Like, I don't mind, like, throwing Alec Pierce in there if you have to. Josh Downs has missed two days with a concussion, so I'm doubting Josh Downs plays. So Alec Pierce should be, you know, a guy you could definitely throw in there in the flex.
Alec Pierce is probably going to be the sneaky league week winner week, because we're looking at a 48.5 over under Vegas implied total for the Chargers. For the Colts specifically, you know, over 23 points. These are the games where you play a guy like that, especially if there's no Josh Downs. He's going to be on the field. Real quick before we move on to the Chargers, will we ever care about A.D. Mitchell again?
Yeah, I mean, he made a mistake a couple weeks ago. It sucks, but. Like, this, here's his shot again. Like, they don't have anybody else. Let's get him back out there. Hopefully he learned from his mistakes. And I'm not starting him in any lineup leagues, but best ball, sure. Let's see what happens. I'm not dropping him or anything. I had never seen him on any waivers, so nobody's dropping him.
Yeah, nobody's dropping him. Not at all. I've actually, in my semi-deep home league, it's like in the middle, I've had a tough time finding a way to add him. I missed out by a day. I was kind of positioning my roster so I could pick him up and just stash him. Wasn't able to. But I don't want to give up on the kid. On the Charger side of things, let's just do this quickly. It's pretty straight up and down. Yep. Justin Herbert, yes, please. Keenan Allen, yes, please. Ladd McConkey, yes, please. QJ, if he plays, yes, please. Running back, though, Kimani Vidal goes off. Hassan Haskins does nada. Are we trusting week seven when we're making our week seven? Are we trusting week six while we're making our week seven decision?
Yeah, I think it's Vidal's RB job now. Like, Haskins was pretty mid, even though he played a lot of the early downs. But Vidal,
his skill set was mid, too. His skill set is mid.
Yeah, and then Vidal kind of took it over from there. So I'm confident in him as, like, an RB2 this week in this high-scoring game, so I'll go with him. And then Aronde Gadsden, man, he's taken over that tight end role. So, like, if you need a tight end this week, there isn't anybody out there, he's a good one to throw in there, too.
Let's play a quick name game with Gadsden. Aronde Gadsden or Juwan Johnson?
Gadsden.
Me too. Gadsden or TJ Hockenson?
Ooh, that's a really good one. I think I go Gadsden, honestly, because Hockenson just hasn't done shit for me.
Hearing that, folks, it is a stardom if you got him game when it comes to the Colts and Chargers. In the chat here, again, if you want some questions answered, throw them in the chat. We will get to them, maybe not right away, but if you want to make sure we answer them right away, throw in the Super Chat. We'll get to them ASAP. Start three. Davis, Monty, Bijan, Rashad White, Chase Brown. Yeah, I'm assuming it's David Montgomery. Yeah.
Yep.
David Monty. David Montgomery. Sir. So we got David Montgomery, not Davis. Bijan, Rob, obviously. I mean, come on. What are you doing here? Rashad White or Chase Brown? We need to start three. So basically, which one are you benching?
I'm sitting Chase Brown. Yeah, start the top three.
With ease for me, with ease. Yep. Start two, Cortland Sutton, A.J. Brown, Rashee Rice, QJ, Mike Evans, if healthy. We're picking two of these, Eric.
Rashee Rice for sure, and I think if he's healthy, I'm going QJ. Like, if he gets me full practices, I'm going with QJ. But if he's just, like, limited, it's kind of iffy, I'll probably go to Sutton.
Interesting. Next question, do I trade Puka and Shaheed for Adunze and Rashee Rice? 2-4 right now these next 2 weeks without Puka are tough matchups. So basically, do we sell it out? Do we sell out to try to win these 2 weeks?
I think, yeah. I think Adunze and Rashee Rice are probably both top 15 dynasty wide receivers for me. Obviously, Puka's going to be in the top 3-4 for people. I'll take the two assets there and try and make a run with it. So, yeah, I'd probably do this.
I agree. I think in redraft, this is a no-brainer. This is a definite smash in redraft. But even in Dynasty, like you mentioned, I think I'm still making the trade. Puka, we have to remember, Puka, this is not a slight on him. This is not a trade Puka. This is not a fade Puka. This is not Puka anger here. Yeah, so it's a definite smash here. You're going to want to make sure you get those smash hits. Yep. But I just want to make this point for Dynasty because, of course, South Harbin, we primarily do a lot of Dynasty. We're really just getting into the redraft, so maybe some of the listeners are a little Dynasty more focused. Don't forget, you know, Puka's 24. I know that doesn't sound old, but he is a little bit older prospect. And I'm not saying let's fade him. I'm not saying – I'm just saying that in the scope of things, we have to make sure that we're just – not too over our skis with Puka. Obviously, he's great. I love Puka. But Odunze and Rashi Rice, as you mentioned, are two Dynasty stud assets. So I think this is a yes, please, and regardless of format.
And the way Puka plays, like, he's always getting smashed. Like, we've seen him. And they mentioned
that. The coaching staff mentioned that this week.
He's had a busted open face. He had the ankle injury already. So, and then last year, he's had all knee injury. So, like, that was his MO coming out of college, too, is he was always hurt. And that's why he never, like, was a stud coming out of, you know, college that everybody was just raving about because he was always injured. So, he does have this in his past. So, yeah, might not be his last injury of the year.
Yeah, in the redraft, bring it back to the redraft that because it is Rashid's kind of replaceable asset in redraft. This is really just a tear down from Puka Odunze and getting Rashi, which is a no-brainer. It's a smash. Yep. That's a good trade. Whether you're 2-4 or 4-2, 5-0, 6-0, it doesn't matter. I think this is a win. I think this is a trade no matter what the situation.
Yep.
Green Bay Packers, they're 3-1-1, but they head to Arizona to take on the 2-4 Cardinals. Seemed like Jacoby Brissett might start another game. Packers are -7, 44.5 over-under, -375 for the Pack, +295 for the home Cardinals. Packers side of things, you know, Josh Jacobs, there's no analysis needed. He's awesome. We're playing him. But when it comes to the passing attack for Green Bay, talk to me about Jordan Love and talk to me about his weapons because it doesn't seem fantasy-friendly six games in.
It hasn't been bad, but I think this is pretty easy, honestly. I'm playing all my Packers. I'm playing Jordan Love, playing Jacobs. I'm playing Dobbs. I think it's a solid like wide receiver 3 this week. Matthew Golden has been coming on and on and on the last couple weeks. I like him as a wide receiver 3. Tucker Kraft, I'm definitely starting. So I'm starting all my Packers this week. And then on the Cardinals side, I think I'm only playing Trey McBride. I don't want to play anybody else because Marvin Harrison's going to be out.
I'm with you. I think this is a get right game for the defense of the Packers, which is not good for anything. This is good for Josh Jacobs.
Yeah,
I think it's good for Josh Jacobs. Yep. It's tough to decide who's going to be the pass catcher. I like Tucker Kraft. I think throughout situations, Matthew Golden, if you got him, you could play him because he could be the guy. Would it be Romeo Doubs? I don't know. It seems a little murky, but like you said, you kind of have to play them because you don't know. I think it's equally possible for these guys to perform on a high basis. Tucker is a lock for me. Jacobs is a lock for me. Jordan Love is a fringe RB quarterback too. I think they could just kick the living dog shit out of the Cardinals. Yeah, Vegas thinks so. Fair. So it's a little bit tougher to pick, but I think it's, in terms of the offense as a whole, I think better days are ahead. So we're going to hope that – maybe we hope that the game's a little low-key so you can trade for him. Maybe we'll talk about that.
If you had to choose a Cardinals receiver, who would you choose?
If I had to, other than Trey McBride, because he's I'd pick Trey McBride. Other than him –
just pure wide receivers. As Zay Jones has missed 2 practices, and he just had a good game. So it's like Michael Wilson, and that's it.
No, I'd go with Greg Dortch over Wilson. Dortch seems to be more reliable. Michael Wilson seems like his role is his role.
Okay.
You hope you get a 40-yard touchdown. And I think Dortch could be the guy, especially with a vet like Jacoby Brissett that will check down, will kind of just take what's given. I don't think it's crazy to think of a game where Greg Dortch has like 9 targets, 8 catches for 42 yards. And you're like, 12 points in PPR. Yeah. Holy shit, that worked out for me.
Okay.
But that game's a bit of a snooze fest. This next game, though, is the game for week 7. Just looking at the betting numbers is getting the I just feel it in my loins. It's getting the blood hot. 3-3, Commanders head to Dallas to take on the 2-3-1 Dallas Cowboys, -2.5 for the Commies, over under EV of 54.5. Fire it the fuck up. -135 for the Commanders, +114 for the Cowboys. Vegas thinks this is going to be a close back and forth fantasy gauntlet. Let's start with the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels is a QB1 for me this week. I think this is his 35-40 point game.
Ooh,
who's he going to throw the ball to?
I'm gonna, That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to push back on that a
little
bit. Who's
he going to throw the ball to?
I don't know who he's throwing it to. I mean,
Debo?
McLaurin and Debo both missed Wednesday and Thursday. So that's not good. Like, they would have to, like, get full practices for me tomorrow to, like, have any confidence in that. So I think it could EV. Be, hey, let's lean on the running backs and lean EV. On maybe Jaden running.
What have we said on the show? What have you said on the show for weeks now? What does Diggs do for the Cowboys?
Yeah, he's terrible. He's dog shit.
It'll just be Noah Brown. It'll just be Chris Moore. It'll just be Luke McCaffrey. It'll just be whoever. This defense sucks.
Yeah.
And I've been saying it all week. Luke McCaffrey is my streamer wide receiver of the week, and it's only going up in value. You mentioned the two primary pass catchers have missed. I do think it's a big game for Bill. I think we're both on the same page there.
I think Ertz comes back. Yeah, I think Ertz could have a monster game.
And on the Cowboys side of things, it's just not difficult, guys. If you need analysis around Dak Prescott, Javonte Williams, George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Jeff Ferguson, it just feels like you play them all. But let me just ask this in a meta sense, EV, because this week we're going to play them all. If you got a Cowboy in a 54.5 over-under and you don't play him, when are you going to play him?
Right, exactly.
But I just want to ask you from an overall rest of season kind of outlook. CeeDee Lamb comes back. The pie kind of shrinks in terms of what Ferg was getting, what Pickens was getting. How do you see this parsing out? Because we both have said this all year, and we're going to continue to say that he's going to break the record for pass attempts. So there's plenty of passes to go round. With CeeDee Lamb coming back, what does that mean for Ferg? What does that mean for Pickens? And what does it mean for Lamb coming back to a landscape that he's probably a little bit unfamiliar with, sharing with really good players?
I mean, Lamb's first two games of the year, he had 100 yards. So I expect that to continue. Like, he is in my top three wide receivers for the rest of the season. Easy. I think it's probably more Pickens and Ferguson go back to their, like, 5-for-60 kind of stat lines, and you hope they get a touchdown. Sure, once in a while, one of them's going to pop off and be open. But, like, yeah, Pickens isn't going to have these crazy numbers that he's had the last couple weeks. So, but I'm still firing him up. I'm firing up all these guys this week. I'm excited for them.
I'm going to talk about a different player to make my point here. So we've seen Jaxon Smith-Njigba crazy. We've seen him do it on double-digit targets. We've also seen him do it 6 and 5 targets. That's what I'm expecting for CeeDee Lamb. He might not get the 13, 14 targets that we thought he'd get coming into the year on a weekly basis. But if he gets 8, done. He could be 7-for-110 and a touchdown. He's going to get it done no matter what the volume is. It's going to be enough. And I think Pickens is good enough that as long as he's getting his 5, 6, 7 targets, he's going to convert. I think if Ferv gets his 4, 5, 6 targets, he's going to be a good middle-of-the-road startable tight end with tight end touchdown upside and volume game scheme upside. I think each and every week we're going to have five fantasy-relevant players on the Cowboys each and every week.
Yeah, and the one thing I read about Lamb on my way home today was he could have played last week, but they gave him an extra week. He's playing this week, full snaps, full everything, from everything that I read. So, yeah, fire me up some CD Lamb.
Absolutely. All right, let's head to some primetime island games. The 3-2 Falcons head to the Bay Area to take on the 4-2 49ers. 49ers -1.5, over under 47.5. Love that game total. +114 for the Falcons, -135 for the Niners. Falcons side of things, it's Bijan and it's Drake London. Is it anybody else?
I don't mind Kyle Pitts. Like, he's probably in that Cade Otton and Barner range that we've been talking about all show. So
yep.
Kyle Pitts will be in there. Like, I don't know if Mooney's going to play. Ray-Ray McCloud basically was a healthy scratch. So, like, it's Bijan, Pitts, and Drake London. That's it. Like, and Penix, like, that 49ers defense lost Fred Warner. They've lost Nick Bosa. So they are massively beat up. So I don't mind Penix as, like, a streamer.
Penix is tough for me because we see on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it's
Bijan and Drake eat, but it's been ugly for him. Maybe a hot take, I don't know, but I'm playing Spencer Rattler over Michael Penix this week.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
But, you know, it's the great thing, though, Evie? It don't matter. Penix can suck a fat one. Bijan's going to do his thing, and Drake London's going to do his thing, and we're hoping Kyle Pitts can just convert.
They've been playing Drake in the slot.
Targets.
Yeah, they've been playing Drake in the slot a lot, and that's where he's just cooking right now. So, yeah, just keep feeding him.
Drizzy Drake, take a shot from me.
Yep.
And on the Niners side of things, Christian McCaffrey is just the gift that keeps on giving in 2025 so far. We're obviously playing. It's just obvious. Pass catching wise, seems like it's going to be Mac Jones. Yep. So does that mean we're going to go back to the Kendrick Bourne well?
Absolutely.
Even with Kittle coming back.
Yeah, I think Kittle and him are going to be the two main guys here. Tom just takes a back seat, obviously. I'm not playing Juwan Jennings at all. I'm sitting him everywhere. He's way too beat up. So that puts Kendrick Bourne firmly in the wide receiver one spot. Ricky Pearsall hasn't practiced at all this week. He's probably going to miss another game. So yeah, fire up Kendrick Bourne if you got him. Like, hit him and Mac have the chemistry going back to New England, and then he's just continued it here with the 49ers. So yes, sign me up for some Kendrick Bourne this week.
Kendrick Bourne, believe it or not, what universe are we in, my friend? 20 targets of the last two games, 15 receptions, 284 receiving yards. He's had 142 receiving yards each of the last 2 weeks. He's been inside the top 12 both of those weeks. He's been fantastic.
And he was cut during this season.
By my New England Patriots.
Yeah.
But it's going to appear. It's going to appear in New England again. I'm not gonna bitch about it. Bitch about it.
Yep.
I also am realizing, I think I missed their game.
We did. It's not much to talk about. You're starting your Patriots. You're starting Drake May. You're starting Ramondre. I think Travion's a solid play. You're playing Diggs. Hunter Henry's been okay. Butte, I think you can play too. I'm not playing any fucking Titans.
No. You're right. It wasn't that easy. It wasn't that hard to break down. But yeah. I'll be honest. I can take some accountability here. I completely spaced that out. Completely.
You just chalked it up as a dub already. I get it.
Maybe. That's not good. That's not good. But anyway, let's move on to this two again. Real quick, what do you like? Do you like the Monday night double dip?
I don't mind it when it's 7 and 8:15. Not this 7 o'clock and then 10 fucking o'clock.
No, this is for the birds. This is for the birds because
I'll wake up and check my ESPN app in the morning and see who scored.
Evie, I'm a weak man. I'm going to stay up at least till midnight. Oh. JSN?
We got DK Metcalf catching bombs out here already. We're hurting the game a little bit.
Because I got the DK ladder. I bet him at 70 over, 80 over, 90 over, 100 over, 110 over. So we're going to climb that ladder on Thursday night football. But anyway, two games, Monday night. I think they're both pretty good. Let's start with the banger, though. 5-1
You got 50
Buccaneers.
On that play.
Yeah, I'm vibrating. I'm very excited. Yes. 5-1 Buccaneers head to Detroit to take on the 4-2 Lions. Let's power through these last two games so that we can go enjoy some Thursday night football. Plus 5.5 for the Bucks, 52.5 over under. Love that. Plus 210, minus 258 for the Lions. It would be a smoke 'em if you got 'em game if everyone was healthy, but they're not on the Buccaneers side of things. So Baker, yes. Rashad, yes. We've talked about it all game. Kate Otten, we've talked about this all week. We're going to play him. He's one of our favorite streaming tight ends options. But talk to me about the receivers. No Chris Godwin. Mike Evans?
Possible.
No Egbuka? What are we doing with this pass catching corp?
Yeah, I think you got to play Evans if he plays. I'm hoping he gets like a full practice in to give me some more confidence. I've picked up Cam Johnson everywhere. I think I would play, if I had to prioritize him, I would think I would go Evans first if he plays. Mm-hmm. Second, I would probably go Tez Johnson. Third, I want to say Sterling Shepard, but I think Cam Johnson, I'm hoping, and then Sterling Shepard. I think you could kind of flip-flop there. But if I want to take a shot at one of these guys this week, I think it's Tez Johnson, man. Like, he's just got that quick movement, really good route runner. All that kind of stuff. Like, I think him and Baker could hook up for a big play. Lions secondary is still beat up, so I still like Baker in this matchup. So I think the Lions win, but I think it's gonna be a close game.
You know, MVP chance ringing from Tampa Bay's field last year for Tez Johnson after one catch, 45 yards, a touchdown. You know, you gotta fire him up. But I think the point is, if you're struggling to find a flex play, you're losing guys on bye and injury and redraft. Just pick up whichever Buccaneers receiver is a free agent and play him. And if Evans is out, then it brings in all three of those guys. And just
how would you rank them? Would you rank them the same
I would go Tez Johnson one because I think the big play is there, and I don't think you need the volume, and that's kind of what I want with this boom or bust. But then I'm going to go Sterling Shepard second because I think there's a decent floor of 4, 5, 6 targets. But I also think Johnson's a play because I think he looked really good. I think if he had more of the prospect pedigree, you know, something like, you know, Tez Johnson, who had a great career at Oregon. I think that would make a lot, and I know that's crazy, but sometimes those guys get elevated because of what they can do in a week, a day-to-day, you know, outlook at practice. So I would go Johnson, Shepard, Tez Johnson, Shepard, and then Cam.
Okay.
And on the Lions side of things, not much analysis needed, right? We're playing Goff. We're playing
it's
Gibbs.
It's a concentrated offense. Yeah, a concentrated offense. Goff, Monty, Gibbs, Amon-Ra, J-Mo, Laporta. You got them, you're playing them. Move on.
And we said this exact thing last week, and if you tuned in last week, first of all, shout out to you, so you got to hear this again. What did we say about J-Mo last week? You play him when the over-under is over 50. I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook. It's 52.5. J-Mo is a fire-up. You're going to play him all day long. Absolutely. Before we get to the last game, we got one more in the chat. Should I trade Achan if you think he actually gets traded to the Seahawks?
I think I would just keep him, to be honest. Yeah. Yes.
If a team is going to be, you know, if they're going to make the effort to trade for him, they're not going to bench him. And yeah. he's been so good. So if you're trading him away, you better be getting a top 8 running back plus or a top 5 running back. There's no need to panic sell. He's just been so good. So you want to keep him at all cost.
Last game on Thursday night touchdown on the board. Jonnu Smith.
Oh, I'm playing against Jonnu Smith and he's streaming. That's fucking booty cheeks. Anyway. Last game of the slate, EV, let's get to it. Week 7 in the books. 2-3 Houston Texans head to the Pacific Northwest to take on the 4-2 Seahawks. -3 for the Seahawks, over under 41.5, plus 140 on the money line for the Texans, minus 166 for the Seahawks. Texans coming off bye. What does this mean for their running backs? Are we going to go, you know, Marks did it 2 weeks ago, Chubb did it last week. Which one are we playing?
Yeah, kind of like the under in this game. Like, Seahawks defense is pretty solid, and I think Texans off of bye should have a good plan here for the Texans or for the Seahawks as well. So, running back wise, I think it's just going to be another 50-50 split, maybe 60-40. I want to say I want to play Marks, but he might be the 40%. I'm kind of just hoping he gets the catches and makes up for it in PPR.
The 41 over under makes me want to go Chubb in if this is the type of game that it's going to be and we're going to try to predict the future, I'm going to go with Chubb over Marks. We need Marks in the back and forth, the indoor arena football scenario.
Right.
So I think I'm going to go Chubb over Marks this week. But, you know, coming out of the bye for rookies, it can be the launching pad. So if you have Marks and need to start them, you know, there are definitely worse options to do that. CJ Stroud seems to be the quintessential meh fantasy quarterback, good in NFL, meh. Fantasy, I think you can find other arrangements. Pass catching, it seems pretty straightforward, right? Nico Collins, is there anyone else?
Yeah. Dalton Schultz is in that tight end streamer range again, but probably, yeah. I've had to throw Christian Kirk into a few lineups, but he's like a flex play at best.
Yeah, you're just hoping and praying for a touchdown or a decent play. I mean, last game that they played, he did have over double-digit fantasy points. It came on a big play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Xavier Hutchinson got 2 touchdowns. Like, that's not happening ever again.
And if we are doing the if we're looking at history and we're looking at teams coming out of a bye, that is typically when we'll see the kind of the passing of the baton where a Jaden Higgins or maybe even a Jalen Knoll starts getting on the scene. So for Week 7 specifically, the only guy I'm playing with confidence is Nico Collins. I don't want to chase these backup players in a 41.5 over-under. I don't care if it is Monday night. Right. And on the Seahawks side of things, Sam Darnold's been really good, but this matchup ain't great. I think you could find other quarterbacks to play over Sam Darnold. But how do you see kind of this? JSN, yes. Yes. Yeah. My God, yes. After JSN, though, Seahawks, how are we playing? Because Darnold's been good. He's kind of been, I would say good, not great. The running backs have been as frustrating of a situation to predict in all of football. So how do you see this offense after JSN playing out?
I have a couple leagues where I'm just playing Sharp and Walker together and just praying. Like, it's so hard to pick between them every week. I think Ken Walker is probably a little more talented, but will he get all those yards? I don't know. So if I had to choose, I'm going to go Walker over Charbonnet. Cup's been okay. Torrey Horton's had a couple games here and there. Barner's been killing it, so I like Barner a lot. I don't mind Darnold. I think, like, if I had to choose, like, Darnold or Dart, I think I might go Darnold this week, even though Dart's getting all the rushing yards. I think I would lean Darnold over Dart there. I'd play Darnold over the Vikings quarterbacks. I'd play him over
Mac Jones? You know,
Mac Jones. I think I'd go Mac Jones there. I'd play him over. Go ahead.
Last one, Sam Darnold or 2025 Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones.
I think I'd go Daniel Jones in the higher over-under game. Yeah, I'd probably play. I think I'd play Daniel Jones over Bryce or Darnold over Bryce Young too.
Good one. Okay, yeah. I mean, he's got JSN at the end of the day. He could. He
Barner's
could make
been
it happen.
Killing it. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'd go Darnold there.
My only bit of the only thing that makes me nervous about the Kupp and Barner plays. So Barner's got a tough matchup. Houston's been really tough against tight ends. Cooper Kupp and JSN have tough matchups. The secondary's been pretty good for the Texans. And with the over-under only being 41.5, I'm not super pumped to play anyone other than Jackson Smith and Jigba. But if you are desperate, and we all can have these weeks where we're desperate based on weeks and buys and injuries, Kupp scored some touchdowns, but I think we're looking at touchdown or bust for Kupp, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just like how the Hawks are scheming up ball right now on the offense, man. They're like, they're getting guys open. So, yeah, that's kind of why I like Darnold.
Yeah, and I mean, I do have Kupp inside my top 40. I have him over guys like Jerry Jeudy and Travis Hunter. So there are situations in which you got to play Cooper Kupp, even if the over-under isn't all that exciting. But I think this game could be exciting, and week seven as a whole is exciting, and we're already off to an exciting start on Thursday Night Football. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the walkthrough week seven. Make sure you are following the South Harmon Fantasy Football channel. Like this video. Leave a comment. Who are your favorite plays in week seven? EV, let the people know where they can find you.
Yeah, at Eric Vanek NFL on X. You can follow me there. Sunday, Start Sit Show on this channel. Come hang out with us on Sunday. We're going to help you with any of your Start Sit questions. And then, you know, patreon.com/South Harmon. Come join the Discord. All, you know, dollars the cheapest tier. $8 gets you to the rankings tier. You see all our dynasty rankings. You chat with us in the Discord. Ask us Start Sit questions there. Community's great, man. There's so many guys in the community that are just, hey, what do I do with this trade? Or should I make this trade? Just talking ball. All that kind of stuff. There's a lot of good people in there. So if you haven't joined the Discord yet, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, speaking of Discord, I want to give a big shout out to our guy Salt getting married over got married recently. Hope him and his husband have a great time being married. So big shout out to the community, big shout out to Salt. But yeah, guys, fantasy football is supposed to be fun, and I think South Harmon really exudes that. It's fun. It's a fun community. So make sure you join the Patreon. But we're about that life. We're about business, and we're about getting dubs in fantasy. So if you also want the analytics side, the more serious side of things, we got that too. SouthHarmon.com or SouthHarmonFF.com/warp. Get the warp tool. Join the Patreon. Get all the good stuff. You know, America's Game, 4D Chess, bunch of podcasts coming out, bunch of three different channels, Vibes channel, Dynasty channel, Fantasy channel. We got you covered. We got all different walks of fantasy. We're the community to be a part of. So join the community. Have some fun. Become part of South Harmon. We got merch. Adam's been cooking with the merch, too. Absolutely cooking with the merch. So join South Harmon. Be part of the community. Become a shithead just like me and EB.
Get an America's Game t-shirts on there on the store, too.
Get the America's Game t-shirt, baby. Get it all.
You'll be pulling all the chicks over there. I'm telling you.
No, dude. You listen to America's Game? Ooh.
Madison Beer will leave Justin Herbert for you.
Ooh. How do you think Justin Herbert got Madison Beer? He was wearing a shitheads t-shirt, wearing America's Game t-shirt.
I don't know how he got her, but... congratulations, my
friend.
Mean,
he's a 6'5 laser rocket arm stud quarterback. That's how you get the ladies, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations,
sorry if you're not 6'5 laser rocket arm. Yeah,
chicks don't dig the long ball anymore. They dig the laser arm quarterback.
Yes, they do. And they absolutely do. And, of course, they dig South Harmon, so become a member of the community. This is the walkthrough, guys. And make sure you follow me on X. I'm at Matty Kiwoom. But that's it. That's week seven. Enjoy the slate. Let's get those dubs, and we'll see you next week for the week 8 slate of the walkthrough. Guys, we'll catch you next time. Peace.
See ya.